start.
Now, I want to begin by something that is silly, but it's bugging me. Sometime back in the fall, somebody, and I don't know who, I don't know which hour it was, heard that I was helping to clean out my mom and dad's house and asked me if I found a pocket protector that they would like to have one. And I cannot remember who that was. So if you're in the room and want to admit it now, you can raise your hand. I did find one. It's brand new and so old that it's already cracking. It says in here, and these must have come from different times, used by men who know that neatness counts. Salesmen, office managers, accountants, draftsmen, college students, it doesn't say college professors, bank employees, so, you know, there's some of you can feel there, root men, are any of you old enough to even know what a root man is? R-O-U-T-E? R-O-U-T-E? That's because you're from the state. They live in a hoose and drive on a route. And we reverse that in Tennessee. And then finally it says executives. So, you know, this is good for almost anybody, but I'm going to carry this around until I find out who it was, but I've forgotten to make the announcement.
That has nothing to do with anything.
I hope you have had a good week. I hope that at the appropriate time, as you think of all the things that haven't gotten done in your life, that your list is shorter than mine. And I want to take you to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 of chapter 5 says, instead, that means he's been talking about some things before and this is a transition word, instead I tell you, be guided by the Spirit and you will no longer yield to self-indulgence. Those are the two words that my translation uses, guided by the Spirit or influenced by self-indulgence. Verse 19 begins to give you a list of things that you are likely to find in your life if self-indulgence is what is in control of the things that you do. And verse 22 gives you a list of things that might be expected to arise if the Spirit is in control of the life that you are living, if the Spirit has influence. I'm giving you access to this so that you'll know where we're going next week. We are working on the longest list we have worked on yet, which is a list that spreads itself out over James chapter 3:17, over this section in Galatians, and then eventually back into Matthew for the Beatitudes. We're going to try to link all of those together. We are finishing the last piece today, I hope, on our work through the section in James 3:17. And so next week we will start on this list. So in my translation it says, on the other hand, verse 19 has started a section that talks about what comes into your life or what likely is going to come into your life if the Spirit is not in control. Verse 22, on the other hand, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. P.W. Hunt gives those three middle ones as long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And then my translation gives trustfulness, gentleness, and self-control as the last three. I don't know if something is out of order in my translation from his, but he gives those three as faith, meekness, and temperance. And we're going to use his words because we're using so much of the things from his workbook. So next week we will turn to the first of those nine terms in his list, which is love. And so next week you'll see a new list over there with the word love highlighted as the one we're going to look at. Today we're finishing up our work in James, and we have looked at characteristics of Jesus, pure, peaceable, gentle, intreatable, merciful, fruitful, and steadfast. And we're looking this morning at the word honest. The word honest. Now, I've given myself a little less room today because I wanted to put this up without crowding into people possibly putting up praise reports or identifying visitors. But let's see how we do. What I want to do is, as we have done before, recognize these are characteristics that Christ exhibited. These are characteristics that the Spirit wants to be present in our lives. This is what we are called to. And there are words that will help us understand what that term means. But Satan doesn't really want us there. Satan wants us someplace else. And so there's an opposite for this, and we want to explore terms that would help us understand that. And then, if Satan cannot pull us to the opposite, Satan may try to push us past this spot into a perversion of this particular characteristic. And at least through the section in James and through the section in Galatians, this is the way we will be exploring these. So this morning, let's begin with synonyms. So maybe I'll take the opposites over here. That hasn't quite been erased. Can everybody kind of sort of see opposites right there? So again, those of you who have the workbook and are prepared to add yours, do so gently and not too quickly, so that it looks like you're sort of thinking of them on the fly. There's a couple of words that I want to put down first. Without hypocrisy. I think I've got the right number of S's and C's. That may be supposed to be a C in there, I'm not sure. And then the second word is sincere. I've noted that when people send me emails, they very often have a standard signature that's added to it. Are you all aware of this? You can go into your email program and you can type in what the email program calls a signature, which of course is not a signature, but it's a block of text. Your choice. It can say anything you like. And that block of text will then be appended to every email that's sent out from that account. Are you all aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. And I have friends who write me regularly. They'll write me one line, and then there'll be six or seven lines of the signature, and at the end of that signature is often a quote of some kind. And the first time you see the quote, it's interesting. And the second time, it's still sort of interesting. And the 15th or 20th time, it's gotten a little old. And so for about a week back there in the fall, I put a quote into my signature block. I took it out within a week. I just decided it said some things I didn't really want to say. But what it said was, the most important characteristic for anyone to develop in their lives is the characteristic of being sincere. Now, I'm quoting now. And the quote goes on to say, if you can fake that, you can get anywhere in this world. What's so funny about that quote? I thought it was hilarious. Fake sincerity? Who would have thought of such a thing? Our world is full of that. Our world is full of that.
The
most important characteristic is sincerity. When you can learn to fake that, you've got it made. I still think that's funny. My mom is one of the best judges of character that I've ever seen. She couldn't in a couple of cases that happened in the last 3 or 4 years. I don't know how many of you have had relatives who have been hit by people who are scam artists and so forth. And, they actually got dad, but you know, mom sort of didn't notice what was going on for a little while. Yeah, I think people are really good at this. And some people are so terrifically good. Well, I won't finish that sentence. Many of you can probably finish it for me. But, that was where I wasn't going to go. Did you read the article this week? There's a page of columnists in the Richmond Times-Dispatch. It's on the right-hand side. The people that send my blood pressure up a little bit, or usually on the left-hand side. The right side's a little bit more interesting. There was a fellow who said he had had lunch, I think it was, with three congressmen or senators within the last 2 months. And he said he caught them. I forget the acronym he used. There was some little moment that he caught them in. And it was a moment of open and transparent honesty. And they admitted they didn't have all the answers. They admitted that sometimes they weren't sure what to do. They realized that there were a lot of things they needed to do that they just didn't have the courage to do. And they were actually expressing this in a one-on-one conversation. And his comment was, that was the point I realized maybe all hope is not lost. But at the same time, I realized what an uphill battle they have, because in public, what they have to portray is absolute confidence that everything they said is absolutely the most perfect thing that ever could be said. And I don't know if any of you saw that column, but it struck a little bit of a note that resonated with this. So, with that as a background, what are some other terms that one might put up that might help us understand or might be synonyms for this word or this characteristic or this trait?
Transparent. Trustworthy.
Do any of you remember Jesus' interaction with a potential disciple, I think, named Nathanael? Remember what Jesus said about him? Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Remember that?
I think maybe for this, there's nothing hidden, which is the opposite way of saying this without saying the opposite. You're still trying to say the same thing.
What else?
Fourth right.
As opposed to fifth right. Hello. And everybody reaches in and closes off their cell phones. Well, I'm perfectly okay with putting some words on the boundary. I think I've done that before, and I think I hear you saying Hunt puts it over here, and you think it might put it over here, so let's put it over there.
Genuine.
This is maybe a good spot to pick up something on the opposite. Yeah, pick up on genuine. Fake is the short version. Counterfeit.
Two faced. Shady.
Okay, let's leave that alone. You're having too much fun. We'll come back to this one for a minute. What other words can we use to help us?
Truth.
Factual.
Truthful.
Undistorted.
I like that. I tell my students at the first of the semester, when I first get them in the room, I take them a good part of one morning and I try to talk to them about how the class is going to go. And one of the things I tell them is that sometimes when I ask a question, this is not for you, I'm going to show you a place that I go to, but sometimes when I ask a question, I want almost anybody to answer, but other times I'm going to call on a particular person, and other people in the class who may know the answer or may have an answer that they think is right and want to make sure I know that they have an answer. You hear that part? Right. They're going to want to just blurt that answer out. And the question I ask them is, if I've called on you, or if I've called on you, there's this horrible feeling, the adrenaline suddenly flows. All I have to do is do that, and the adrenaline just flows, right? It's a funny feeling, isn't it? Okay? You single out a single person, all of a sudden, the adrenaline goes just a little bit. And I said, if I ask them a question, and you blurt out an answer, what are they going to think about? They're going to think about your answer, because it's like they're drowning. Here's a life ring that they can grab a hold of, right? If you've read T.W. Hunt's words, you're probably going to struggle to dismiss anything except T.W. Hunt's words. Mm-hmm. You understand? So it's really important. Those of you who think, well, I didn't get a hold of his workbook, I haven't read it. No. Your contributions are real important. And I've looked through his list, and he doesn't have undistorted down here. That's a great word. That's a great word. Have you looked through your windshields lately? Are there spots in your windshield that are distorted? Almost all. I found one yesterday. I was with Barbara. We had gone shopping. And I was close behind the car. It had a Florida license plate, and it was a Florida license plate in a version that I hadn't seen before, and I was trying to read it. And I pulled up behind him at a stop sign or a traffic light or something. I said, oh, good, I'm going to be able to read this thing. And I look, and I can't read it, because the last 2.5 inches of the windshield of her car, it was distorted. I couldn't read it. As soon as he pulled away, for that fleeting moment as he was getting a little bit far enough where I could still see it, but not so far that I couldn't.
This is a big one. And maybe it can't, you can have distorted transparency where it looks like this is going on.
But you know, though, that works both ways. The way we look at things can be distorted.
Yes.
Good or bad.
Good point.
Or we may distort ourselves for others to view us as in our eyes.
That's a good thought.
Who else? Then let's go back here to shady and fake and counterfeit. What other words might go on here? The opposites. Satan doesn't want us here. And if you hear me personifying this week after week, I think I'm doing so correctly. We are in spiritual warfare, whether we like to admit that or not, or whether we think it's sophisticated. We are being pulled by forces outside of our control to something that's the opposite. So what are some terms that might...
Would two-faced be there over separation?
Oh, I think two-faced would go great here.
Vague. You see it?
Yeah. Vague is a slick one, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Funny.
That's with a PH, right?
Yeah. Indians used to have a good saying, white man speaks with forked tongue.
Uh-huh. How about cloudy or foggy?
Foggy.
Some people bring clarity to the issue, and some people bring fog to the issue.
So people have six hands. On the other hand. But on the other hand. What else goes on that list?
Puffery.
Puffery.
You've worked in interesting places, haven't you?
Puffery. Okay. There's one that you haven't put down. There's one that you haven't put down that T.W. Hunt put down.
Lying.
That's true. And why is it, Willie, that when they really want to talk about the worst lying, they call it bald face? You see why I asked Willie? H.P., I could have asked you, couldn't I?
I was waiting for H.P. to say something.
Why do they call it bald face lying? Yeah, because it looks transparent. It's sort of that, whatever the opposite of this is, opaque, I guess, could go up there. What else? If you've got honest over here, it seems like there's a word that might go over here. Luckily, we've got that already. Uh-huh. That's okay. Make sure it's up there.
Devious.
I don't like that. It's a good word.
I think this people might also could be used as a perversion as they overdo their honesty to the point where it goes to the confusion.
Exaggeration.
Let me take it just a second. There's this wonderful spectroscopy that I get to do every once in a while. It's called nuclear magnetic resonance. It's the small molecule chemist version of MRI. The reason it's called MRI, when they first put it in hospitals, they called it NMR, nuclear magnetic resonance. Nobody would go through the door. They thought it was radioactivity, which it's not. They use very different kinds of energies that don't get involved there. But there's this really interesting thing. When you're running the spectrometer, you get to say, I would like to look at this window of possible frequencies. So you say, I'd like to look at a window that's centered here with a width of this much. Okay? Now, what happens is that the signals that you see can fall almost anywhere. So if you've got a signal, you set a window like this, and you've got a signal that's over here outside the window. Okay? Unless you're real careful, the newest machines can stop this. But the older machines, what would happen was this thing would wrap around and would appear here inside the window over on this other side. Does anybody see why I'm talking about this? What did he just suggest? Something that gets far enough over here just might wrap around and come back in over here. That's my weird mind. But and I can spell it with an IE over here and an EI over there. Wraps around. See. Some of you are with me. Thank you. What else goes over on that list? He put scheming over here. He put crooked and corrupt and unscrupulous over on this list. And any of those might have a good place. Those of you said, I like that word. Well, I don't like that word, but it's an appropriate and well-chosen word for that. Yeah.
Everything so, over here, is an adjective. How about a noun like professional politician?
I'd rather be hopeful and hope that wouldn't necessarily be a blanket statement, or else maybe all hope is lost for that particular body. But think about what we as a people do.
Politicians are doing what they have to do to get elected. This is what the people allow them to do.
Is that double dealing?
And again, if you've struggled a little bit each week with, well, why is this word over here and not over there? Think about nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy, push it far enough over here and switch it over here. I really do think there's something to that thought. But in terms of perversions, it's really interesting to see what T.W. Hunt does with this, because the words that he puts over here are very different from the words that he puts over here. Those of you who've looked through these lists, you probably have picked this up. His first three words over here are brutal, callous, and cruel. Now, somebody mentioned that the adjectives and all that. I don't think the English professors and teachers in the room will kill me for this. Try taking this word and use it as a modifier for this one. Brutally honest, callously honest, cruelly honest. I think that's what he's talking about, you see. Take honesty. Remove kindness. Remove concern. Remove love from it. What do you have left? Maybe that's the perversion he's going to. And he adds words like pitiless, ferocious,
vicious,
unrelenting, ruthless, spiteful, indifferent. That was the one I left out.
That's good. Okay. Which of these would you like to put up here? Vicious, I think. No, I don't have to. I'm so glad I have you all to help me. Hard-hearted. Now, where does tough love fall?
And a few of you who have lived that particular life at one point or another, where does tough love fall?
How you do it. Because there are different ways of brain taking that out, because I know about tough love and family situations. And you have to somehow not be an enabler of something that's going on that's wrong.
You can't let yourself be brutal or this gets worse. But at the same time, you can't pretend the situation is different from what it is.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel a tightrope in there, you haven't been close enough to that condition. And enough of you in here I know have that many of you will know what we're talking about here.
Self-righteous comes into play with the perversions.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest about you. Nobody better be honest about me. Self-righteous sort of shows up as a player on some of these lists over and over again, doesn't it?
Any other term that you think of that might throw up here? Mm-hmm. Might be thrown up here, John.
You know, he asked in here for you to give your own definition of honesty.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in here, honesty is not compromising my beliefs without being overbearing or injurious in expressing them.
Yeah. He makes a point that I think is extremely important.
And those of you who've been to the 8 o'clock service, I think there's something here we can pick up on it and step out from the rest of you. I'll try to disguise what I'm saying in such a way the 8 o'clock people will know, but we won't go into great detail. You'll see what I mean later.
Honesty requires honesty from the first. Truth requires truth through and through. Why?
Why? Do you agree with that statement? Why is that so, Trey?
Well, perhaps that if you're not honest to begin with, that it can lead to even greater problems.
Once you start down that road,
it's not Christmas anymore. But did you see on TBS, I think they've started an annual tradition now, they show the movie Christmas Story over and over and over again for 24 hours on one of the days leading up to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the tunnel and flagpole brought that back to me this morning, too. It sucked. It sucked. Sorry, the recess is over. We've got to go. If you know the movie, there's another point in the movie where the kid has gone to see Santa Claus to see if he can't get his Red Ryder BB gun. Santa Claus says the obligatory, you'll shoot your eye out, kid, and pushes him down the slide, right? Remember what the kid does? Grabs both sides and crawls back up, right? Honest through and through, something like that. Once you start, it's real hard to reverse your course and get back where you were. So what does Scripture have to say to somebody who hasn't been honest? Is all hope lost? What do you do? Start from where you are. Repent for what's been, but starting from where you are, let honesty be in control from that point forward. The second thing he says is, confrontation is the hardest part of this. There's honesty in relationships. It requires sometimes that if you really care about somebody, you got to give them the benefit of what you see. You see somebody about to run off a cliff, you might not tell them. And the problem there is, you can do so in these ways, or you can not do it. See, but uncaring is missing off this list. When you look at that list, you realize that there's one way of being honest, and there's another way of saying, well, I just don't care enough about you to even think about being honest and really confronting things. But he talks about you can confront in love and in truth, or you can do so brutally and viciously. There's a huge difference between those two, and a huge difference between the outcomes. Now, in the time that we have left, which is way more than that clock seems to show, actually way less than that clock needs to show, let's pick up as many scripture verses as I can get us to. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. If you were in Galatians, that's just one book further on. Ephesians chapter 4. In my translation, the phrase that I thought was there isn't there. Verse 15 is the one I thought I was looking at. Ah, yeah, that, it is there. It's a different translation. What did yours say again? Yeah, but keep speaking the truth. That's what I had written down. My translation says living by the truth and in love. Yours says speaking the truth. I like that translation better than what I see in my own. I think I had to look this up in one of the other translations. Speaking the truth in love is a key to Christian growth. Do you see what the rest of that verse is talking about?
We have to grow up in all aspects of life. Mm-hmm.
And look at verse 16. This is a verse, if you stay with me for a year or 2 years, you can hear me come back to this verse over and over and over again. Because I think this is one of the most important verses in the New Testament. We will grow completely into Christ who is the head, verse 15 says, verse 16, by whom the whole body is, my translation says, fitted and joined together. Every joint adding its own strength for each individual part to work according to its function. Think about how your body is put together. You've got parts, but the parts are connected. If the parts weren't connected, we'd just be heaps on the ground. Right? I got bones in my legs, but the bones in my legs are connected to other bones. By what kind of material? Ligaments, tendons, sinews, muscles, cartilage. And collectively, these things are called joints. What are joints? Joints are places where parts come together to become parts of bigger parts. The knee is still not the whole body, but the knee has lots of parts. The connections between us, if honesty is not a piece of those connections between us, those connections aren't going to hold any weight. I'm using physical words for spiritual things. Turn one more book to Philippians. Chapter 1. Start in verse 9 and read along with me. There's a place where my translation has the wrong word. Yours will have the right word, I think. Let's see. It is my prayer that your love for one another may grow more and more along with the knowledge and complete understanding that will help you come to true discernment so that you will be
pure,
blameless. Sincere, that's the word I was looking for. Some translations have the word sincere. Mine says innocent. That word isn't up on the board yet. But coming along with honesty is a kind of innocence. Are you aware of the most outrageous statement in the Old Testament? Job has all these problems. And his friends come and they say to him, you know, all these things you're suffering, there must be some sin in your life. You need to repent it. You remember what Job said? It's an amazing, astounding statement. I have no sin. What did he mean by that? Could he have possibly meant that he had lived his life sinless? No. What did he mean then? There is no sin that God has not dealt with in my life. And if God deals with my sin, where's that sin? It's gone. It's gone, as far as the east is from the west. Honesty with God, honesty with others. Innocent, sincere, one translation said. Blameless, one translation said. Do you hear those words? People riddled with guilt. That's something they would hold on to. And just in case you didn't understand what that word was trying to say, keep reading. Mine says, and free of any trace of guilt. Does yours say something pretty much like that?
It looks like blameless.
Mine says, you will be innocent and free of any trace of guilt when the day of Christ comes. When I meet my Lord, I don't have to hang my head. Entirely filled, not partially filled, entirely filled with the fruits of uprightness through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Can you go back to Ephesians just a minute? You can find that now, right? You got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. We bring Colossians into it next week, and we'll have four of them down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. The first phrase is expressed negatively. The second phrase is expressed positively. What does the first phrase say? No more lies. What does the second phrase say? Speak the truth. But that's not... Speak the truth to one another. Why? Because we're all connected with one another. Okay? Let's see. I got time for two or three more. Yeah, let's go to 1 Peter for just a second. Now, 1 Peter is a little bit of a challenge to find. Hebrews is the biggest book towards the end of the Bible except for Revelation. And so in between Hebrews and Revelation, there's a bunch of little books, and 1 Peter is one of those. See if you can find that. 1 Peter, and I'm looking at chapter 2. I want to read verse 11 first because it's the setting, but I'm taking you to verse 12. Verse 11 is the setting. I urge you, my dear friends, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. I urge you, my dear friends, as strangers and nomads. What's that imply? My home is somewhere else. To keep yourselves free from disordered natural inclinations that attack the soul. Here goes verse 12. Always behave honorably among Gentiles, among non-believers might be our translation. Okay, you're such pagans. I think non-believers is perhaps a less judgmental term to use and still is pretty close. So that. Now, what does that phrase, so that, mean? What's another way of saying that? In order that. In order that some things will happen. In order that these conclusions or these consequences will emerge. Everybody ready? Let's see if we can identify these. So that, one, they can see for themselves what moral lives you live. And, number two, when the day of reckoning comes, give thanks to whom? To God. For what? For the things which now make them denounce you as criminals. The things they condemn you for today will in time make them not praise you, but praise God because of you. Always behave honorably. Always live lives of honesty. Take a look at verse 15, still in that same section. It's just an echo of the same thing. It is God's will. Have you seen that phrase in the Bible very often? It specifically says, this is God's will for you. It is God's will that by your good deeds, you should do what? Silence the ignorant talk of fools. Still in 1 Peter, back up to chapter 1. Verse 22. By your obedience to the truth, you have purified yourselves so that. Do you have a so that at that point? So that's are pretty important. So that you can experience the genuine love of brothers. You can experience the genuine love of brothers and sisters in Christ. Love each other intensely from the heart. Honesty is a key to being able to love each other. What are we going to talk about next week?
Love.
This is leading right straight into that one. Okay. I've got time for maybe one more. Since we're going to spend a whole lot of time on it next week, I want you to know how to find it this week. Find 1 Corinthians 13. This will be what we will close with. 1 Corinthians 13. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're going to read one little verse. Verse 6. Again, it begins with stating something in a negative sense, and then it states the same thing in a positive sense. What's the first thing? Love. Verse 6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, evil, or wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love does not take delight in evil. Love takes its joy in truth. The key to genuine love between people who are children of God is honesty, transparency, and humility. We will stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the time you've given us today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to learn more about your Son, and in so doing, learn more about the kinds of people we need to be. Help us encourage each other, because without that encouragement, little is likely to happen. And help us all listen to your Son as his voice comes to us through your Spirit. Be with us through this week to come, that the opportunities for service you present us with will be recognized, and we'll have a chance to act. Give us the courage to act when our time comes. All these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.